This podcast is brought to you in part by the estate of Bob Nelson. Bob was a lover of all things San Diego and a longtime supporter of Voice of San Diego and its podcasts. We at Voice of San Diego are honored to have his support during his lifetime and continued support through his estate planning. Are you looking to engage with regional decision makers, business leaders, elected officials, and industry professionals committed to improving downtown San Diego? Join the Downtown San Diego Partnership. As a member, you'll receive access to exclusive resources, exposure to special programming, networking functions, and additional opportunities unmatched by any other local membership-based organization. Join the driving forces behind the future of downtown San Diego. For a 10% discount, become a member today.
Welcome to the Voice of San Diego podcast in partnership with News Radio 600 KOGO. I'm Scott Lewis, the CEO and Editor-in-Chief at Voice San Diego. I'm joined, as always, by Andrew Keats, Managing Editor of Voice San Diego, election night. What's up, buddy?
Scott, how are you, pal?
I'm great. Let's do this.
Bringing that election night energy, huh?
Fellow Managing Editor, the punch drunk, Andrea Lopez Villafana. What's up, Lopez?
What's up, Lewis?
I want to just stipulate here, for anybody who's listening, we are recording it at a very reasonable time right now.
11?
It's like, 11.
Oh, yeah. 11:10.
Like for adult humans, this is a perfectly reasonable time to be awake.
Some people watch the news at this time, just every night.
Yeah, like
psychopaths.
Anyway, about an hour and a half ago, Andrea crossed the Rubicon, and I don't know what we're going to get on this show right now, but I just want everybody to know that we're not recording at like 3 a.m. or something obscene like that.
Do you know where we're going to get?
No.
More fans.
Okay. Okay, let's go. We are digesting the results of the first few batches of votes to be counted by the San Diego County Registrar of Voters and the California Secretary of State's coordination of all the different counts going on, because there are some interesting races that stretch beyond San Diego that we are going to talk about. But we need to get through the draft. We each picked two races to talk about, and Andy is insisting that I go in that order, and then we'll talk about some other things of interest before we hang up. Everybody good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the first pick from last week's draft was Andrea Lopez Villafana.
Oh, yeah.
And you chose?
Chula Vista Mayor's race.
Mm-hmm. How about that, huh?
I know.
You called it, though.
I had it right.
You called it from the very moment that you started covering the race. You're like, I just feel like more people know John McCann than these other candidates I've talked to about. Like, you talked to people in the community, and you just got the sense that he was better known.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal in politics.
Everybody I spoke to knew him as a council member and knew him as somebody who'd been around town for a while. And they liked him or they didn't like him, but they knew him.
Yeah.
And every other candidate they didn't really know about, and they heard of Amar, but had heard that he had run somewhere else other than Chula Vista. That was like the ongoing.
Well, let's talk about it. So again, this is at 11 o'clock. Things shift. Let's just go ahead and give a broad disclaimer. These are the votes that we're talking about right now is the count of the votes that were submitted until Monday, through Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all the votes submitted on Election Day today on Election Day as of that time are going to be counted over the next several days and even weeks. So sometimes you can mail your ballot in on like Monday, as long as it's stamped and in the mail, they'll count it. And so that's why it takes this time for all that to get resolved. And we have seen big races shift in that time as they release results. So tomorrow, they'll release another batch probably in the evening, mm-hmm, at 5, and then they'll probably wait another day and then another day after that before they release others. So things can shift and it can take some time. As of now, in the city of Chula Vista, John McCann is up 53.9% to Amar Campanajar's 46.09%. So that's 8 points. That's 8 percentage points. That's not usually in the margin that we talk about of things shifting, mm-hmm. but who knows what can come with thousands of votes still to come in.
Now, let me add, this is was not something I had initially picked up on, but this was not a good night for Republicans in San Diego County elections. Mm-hmm. There weren't many of them on the ballot in the first place, but those who were didn't do great.
Well, let's think. So initial results have Jordan Marks ahead in the assessor.
Very tight.
Very tight, and that could flip.
And if the... Now, we don't necessarily know that the old rules of election day votes tending to be more Democratic and then the results going that direction will hold to be true. They may not, but that would have been the standard expectation for the last 15 years or so.
So yeah, so that can easily flip. Brian Mainshine, though, is having a little bit of trouble in his assembly race. Mm-hmm. He's ahead slightly. Mm-hmm. That's the 76th Assembly District. He's the Democrat, and Christy Bruce Lane is running against him, and seems like she's doing okay. And then in the then there's the Senate district. This was the Pat Bates district. She was a Republican. She's termed out, and that was a big prime pickup opportunity for Democrats. But the Republicans ran a Gunderson, a pretty good candidate, I thought. A lot of people were buzzing about it. But she seems to have won handily there, or mm-hmm. she's doing well. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't great. But wasn't I think what you're saying is that South Bay.
Well, so it's not just McCann.
Yeah.
So McCann appears to have won here. But in District 2, Steve Stenberg is ahead. Now, he's ahead in the thin margin that Jose Preciado could certainly overcome him.
This is the city council District 2 of Chula Vista.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's represented by Joe Galvez.
Yeah. And that's the... Western Chula Vista, Northwestern Chula Vista.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. There's something, the specific dynamics, the peculiar dynamics of Omar Campanajar running in the 50th district and his residence becoming a central focus of that race certainly seems to be true. However, it also seems to be true that there's something interesting about Chula Vista that seems different than what we experienced in the city of San Diego.
We had a correspondent, our intern Gabriel Schneider, went down to Chula Vista to talk to voters there, and he actually came across a McCann voter. Mm-hmm. And I think what was interesting that he found too is there was a lot of talk about homelessness, mm-hmm. and just sort of like wanting to like get control of things, it felt mm-hmm. like was the sense that he picked up.
Yeah, and I think that's the messaging that John has had throughout his entire campaign. Like, I remember back when we spoke, he was like, the city really needs to get back to like common sense, and like we need to get out of these other discussions, and we just need to do what residents want us to do. Like, he was very focused on the small needs of residents as opposed to larger pictures of growth for the city. Mm-hmm. And I think that resonated with voters, especially like people like who Gabe spoke with.
Fascinating. Well, also of interest to this is its regional implications. So the mayor being a Republican, John McCann, with different priorities itself impacts the city council and the priorities that the city council wants to take. However, if the Republicans are able to pull a majority together and they would have to flip another seat, and Steve Padilla has left the city or will leave the city council to join the Senate. And so that means that the flux or the control of the Chula Vista City Council could be up for grabs. Mm-hmm. And that could have a serious impact on who they put to represent the city on the San Diego Association of Governments, the Regional Transportation Planning Board. And that would have a big impact on the priorities of transit, of all these things that we've been talking about for the last several years.
Without question. I mean, yeah, that's a weighted vote. So, things are trending in a different direction on Sandag regardless, but this would give, you know, if they somehow find a way to get a Republican on that seat, that would give them more power than they've had any time recently.
Wow. Next up with the second pick, Measure B in the city of San Diego.
As we sit here right now, Measure B is no on Measure B is leading at a tick above 50%, 50.62%, leaving yes at 49.38%. They are separated by 2,400 votes, give or take. That has moved ever so slightly. Got my trusty little chart, you know, that I do to check each update.
Yeah.
That has trended in the direction of no.
Oh, no gained.
Update. No gained.
Interesting.
In the first update there.
So that was even tighter right away, huh?
Yeah. Now it's a very, very small.
Yeah. So 2,308 votes now are what's there. Like that's out of 200,000 almost cast.
Yeah. I mean, it's too narrow. Like, I can't help it. I probably shouldn't do this, but when I go through the results, the first thing I start doing is coming up with story ideas. How are we going to cover these races? How are we going to describe these races? And realistically, Measure B, it's so thin here right now. Like, you kind of just got to wait before you can start to tell any stories about what's going on.
Yeah. So let's just review what this was and why this is such a important discussion. Measure B would have allowed the city, would if people approve it, would allow the city to study and implement a fee, if it wants to, for trash service collection. So I think this is important to explain, actually. Right now, state law gives cities the ability to raise fees for something. If they say, like, gosh, we need to charge a fee for people entering City Hall because City Hall's falling apart, we're going to charge a fee. You can charge a fee to people if they benefit from whatever the fee pays for directly. But if everybody benefits from what the fee pays for, then you have to have a vote of the people because it's a tax. So that's what governs the discussion about whether a city can do a fee or not. However, in addition to that, the city has its own special law that says you can't charge a fee on this. Trash collection.
Yeah.
If people can get their trash to a street that you maintain, city, you have to pick it up. And so this would have allowed the city to go through the fee process. And of course, they'd implement a fee and it would be like 20 or 30 bucks a month.
Yeah.
And that is a big change. And it would have a major impact on finances for the city into perpetuity. And it is just too close to call.
Yeah. I mean, so no has a slight lead. So for whatever that's worth, I suppose you'd rather have a slight lead than be trailing ever so slightly.
Yeah.
However, as we say earlier, and sorry if I'm going to repeat myself a lot, but the old rules that I grew up with in San Diego politics, the early results were as conservative as the results for that race were going to be. You could set your clock to the fact that it was going to move from the right to the left as more votes came in. Now, it might not move all the way to overcome, but that would be the direction you would expect it to go. There's two issues here. One, that's become more complicated over the last 2 years as Republicans have vilified mail voting.
Yeah, can we just pause for a sec? Yeah. So, like, it used to be that more conservative, older people really liked mail voting.
It's more convenient. They've got their ish together. They're ready to just throw it in the mail.
They would, the moment they got it, they would take care of it, and their votes would be counted first. And then
Republicans loved it, mind you. Like, the Republican consultants would brag to reporters all the time about how superior their get out the vote operation was than the Democrats, who still had these Neanderthal tactics about waiting till election day to drag people to the polls.
They innovated what they call mail ballot chasing. Like, once your ballot got sent out, they would hit you with mail right then, as opposed to waiting until election day. And it was just assumed, like, they loved it and they were good at it. And
the number of Republican consultants from this town that built careers on how much they were able to punch above their weight in registration because they were so good at chasing mail ballots.
Yeah, and then 1 year, a guy didn't do good in an election, and now we don't like mail voting.
He started like freewheeling an explanation about why, and now it's like, I guess it's bad now. Sorry. So, I know this is literally the basis of my career, but...
However, I do still think some of those old physics probably remain.
I think that they probably do.
So yes. It seems like, despite your chart,
yeah,
it seems like it should trend more to the left and that it could be really tight if not flip.
Yes.
But we'll now see.
The other thing I was going to say here. So that's all what we just said there, that applies across everything we're going to talk about tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
What's further complicating matters here is, and this is true about the next one we're going to talk about as well, Measure C, it's a little maybe potentially hard to read like what is the progressive direction of the change. Is it going to be clear to voters that...
Yeah, it's kind of a vibe right now, yeah.
That yes is the leftmost direction that you would expect them that you would change, or is it not? Now, B, I think there's probably a better case to be made that like that...
Yeah, it's a tax versus a...
And...
Or no, it, no, and there was sorry. Oh my god. Oh my god. I'm just gonna give it.
It's a fee.
It's late. It's 11. Johnny
Rivera just veered off the freeway. Real quick. Yeah. I'm sorry, buddy. No. Yeah.
And it pits multifamily homeowners yeah. against single family homeowners. So the dynamics are there that one probably we can bet on it having a that direction. Mm-hmm. But this next one we're gonna talk about maybe less so.
Is that the next one?
Yeah.
Measure C.
So just like Measure B, very, very close, except it's on the other side of the coin. Yes is currently ahead at 50.65%, doing a tick better than no is on Measure B. No on Measure C has 49.35. So it is a little bit
those
more.
Those are alarmingly parallel, like
yes, but just on the other side.
Yeah,
it's like
opposite. Yeah, it's like the reverse.
When I was looking up these results when they came in, I was just like, there's something there, but or is there?
So who are the 2,000 people that just
that went the other side? Yeah, exactly.
No, I know everybody's distinct. Maybe people did different things, but so okay. Measure C, 30-foot height limit for the Midway District.
Let me hop over to my chart to see the direction here. Measure C. Let's see. Yes, gained a little bit of ground, a very little bit of ground.
Yeah, because I think on this one, this is a messy one, like left, right, all that.
Yes,
but I think the left is the yes. I think that the more that the
proponents of the
vibe is the left.
Well, what's fascinating, both the proponents of C definitely think that they have the progressive position. And the most outspoken opponents of C definitely think they have the most progressive position.
Yeah.
So
I think it's like the vibe of like
big city energy.
We can't say it. Even though the mayor says it, we can't give into it. Even to mock it. It just doesn't sound right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so, right? It's the big city energy versus the sleepy
yes, I think that's
surfer town, navy town.
Energy, and that
which
and
is a legit thing that has this city has always had is the geranium place. We just want to have a chill place. We don't want Barcelona here. We want
but
San Diego.
But to the extent that that's the right framing, and I think it probably is. And I think we said something along those lines last week. But like that means that the opposites have happened here at BNC, because
yeah,
the like single family homeowners want to keep things the way they are position is no on B, no on C.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And however, it's no on B, yes on C.
Yeah.
Here. So
it's still very tight.
It leads to a convoluted message, I guess. A muddled picture.
It's still very tight. So 93,700 votes.
Too close to call on that one as well.
Yeah, 91,000.
I mean, I think again, if the rules apply and people can discern this,
seems like yes is strong.
Then yes is probably going to gather votes over the next.
You got to feel better if you're yes.
I would think that's true.
San Diego City Council, District 6.
So. District 6, I guess we'll give you the results first so you can follow along. San Diego City Council District 6 pitting Kent Lee versus Tommy Howe. Kent Lee won overwhelmingly. He won by more than 10 points, basically. 56.46% to 43.54%. Not a close race.
How were, like, this is what we were saying before. It's like, I wouldn't have been surprised if it was Howe by 5 to 10 points or that it was Lee by 5 to 10 points. And, you know, Howe sent out an email today that was, so this is, let's just describe this district. It's Claremont, Bay Park, Kearney Mesa. It's a big and interesting, diverse region.
This is the crucial Waukesha County of the city of San Diego.
Yeah, it's a swing.
Whenever people are like, where do you need, where's the swing district?
So that's where you go for the vibe.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
Now, Tommy Howe sent out an email today, and it was all about, he was no on trash tax, that he called
no
it.
On trash tax.
He said no on height limit, and he said, but we got to
Need more money.
We need more money for cops.
Yeah.
And what was the other thing? And 101 Ash Street. So it was like this, we need more money. And the only reason we're not going to charge people more money because that's not good. Mm-hmm. The only reason we don't have enough money is because of these crooks.
Yeah.
And we're going to get rid of the crooks and we're going to get rid of the crooks on the street.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep San Diego the way it is and what we love about it.
Yeah. So
neighborhoods first.
I think we said this last week as well.
This was all in one email.
Yeah.
Scott read it all.
So many messages.
Yeah.
Oh, I really consume campaign messaging. I just bathe in it.
It's 11. It's getting weird.
So this race, last week we mentioned that it ended up really coming together to be very reminiscent of Todd Gloria and Barbara Bree for mayor 2 years ago. And that was basically Todd Gloria running for mayor, had the support of the Labor Council. He had the support of the Democratic Party. He had the support of the Chamber of Commerce. He was facing another Democrat. And then that other Democrat who didn't have the support of any of the three largest, most organized groups of, political power in this region, needed to look for some other way to cobble together enough votes to win, and did so by mashing together lefty messaging and conservative messaging that maybe didn't make a lot of sense, but then tried to sort of reverse engineer an explanation for why the logic was there for them. And just like this race, also like last year, it started to feel like maybe that would be an effective strategy because, like, the person who it turns out doesn't have the advantage, doesn't have the fundamentals, is going to be the person that you hear from more.
Yeah.
They're going to be the person who's on social media more. They're going to be the person who's saying more provocative stuff to get more attention. And the way our lizard brains work is, that must be resonating.
Yeah.
You're just hearing more noise while the other side is confidently reaching out to the organized groups of people that they already have in their coalition.
Yeah,
and
but also
silently collecting votes. And that's what Todd did. And that's what Kent Lee has done here. And they both got like 56% and change of the vote. Like literally the percentages of this race worked out pretty much the same.
Do you think there's something different? Because you described like Todd and Barbara.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
When we were talking about David Alvarez and Georgette Gomez, you think that was different?
Well, so for one, David got a lot of support from business coalition that ended up being more of like a, especially as it was discussed at the state level, was like essentially like a Chamber of Commerce business friendly Democrat, mm-hmm. moderate Democrat versus labor aligned progressive Democrat.
Yeah, and I think
this one didn't have that dynamic because like even the business groups were with Kent or Todd. Yeah. You know, it was much more like both Barbara and Tommy were trying to build a new coalition of some group of anti-establishment forces, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So But it was not even close. Kent wins. The issues that was talked about a lot in this race was whether this district that was built to be an Asian empowerment district, which was just represented by an Asian American and Chris Kate, who was termed out, would be represented by an Asian American again. Tommy Howe was white. Kent Lee was not. We got an answer to that question. And that also seems like another fundamental that probably ended up mattering to some extent.
Of course, like, you know?
I guess I'm using a lot of words to say that in the end, this one, the outcome here makes a lot of sense.
Okay. National City Mayor.
We have Ron Morrison, Jose Rodriguez, and Alejandra Sotelo Solis. And she's at the bottom.
Yeah, so this was as perfectly set up as possible for Democrats to own goal themselves and then let a Republican take over that seat again. So Alejandra Sotelo Solis was the incumbent. She lost the support of the labor unions and the Democratic Party. They all threw in with Jose Rodriguez. And they just ended up beating up on each other for the next 6 months to, 6 months to 3 months. And they ended up doing that well enough that the Republican, who's well known and been elected many times, and in a lot of the same dynamics that John McCain had in Chula Vista, he's been around and done this sort of campaigning for years. Looks like he's in the commanding seat to win that mayor's race. And wow, that's not the outcome I think that they wanted, but maybe that's what they were trying to do, is fight and let him take over because they were scared of running it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting, but I think kind of like what you said, similar to with John McCain, that was even the feedback from Gabe. Also went out to National City and he spoke to someone who was like, I don't know, like Ron to me is just like community, and he's like approachable. He's someone that you see here in the neighborhood. And anytime I've spent in National City, that's often something that people say about Ron, even people that I wouldn't think would support Ron and would support Alejandra.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for like doing the work in the community as like a member of the community involved in different organizations and all that. Like they see you, you're part of it. And that's probably what Amar Campanajar suffered from most, not just his technical residency status that they focus so much on. But was he a part of the community and a part of its discussions before? And that's a much easier case to make that he wasn't. And I don't know why it got messed up that way. But I think in this case, Ron Morrison's been present intensely. If anything, that's all he does, is be present in all these moments. And it seems to have worked. Now, again, only because the other side couldn't figure it out. And that's their prerogative. They don't have to always be on the same page. But you know, functional parties and coalitions figure those things out.
Yeah. So Ron Morrison is not a member of either Democratic or Republican parties.
Oh, yeah. He left. That's right.
But he's certainly to the right of both Alejandra or Jose. And so I think certainly both Chula Vista and National City now would be correctly described as being represented by conservative white men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. This was the assessor recorder clerk, Jordan Marks, the Republican. He's also, he's not the incumbent, but he's the chief deputy of the office as it is. And he's, as we've talked about, just money vacuum. He can raise money as well as any politician in this town and has done really well with that. And Barbara Bree, a Democrat, a former city councilwoman, is running. Now, she is about 4 points behind. I guess it would be a little less than that, but it's very tight. We're talking about a difference about 14,000 votes over more than 430,000 votes counted so far. So I don't know how many more we're going to be able to get in that race or how much it shifts, but this would seem like a classic test of the, does it go more Democratic or not? But do they even know she's a Democrat at that point?
That's the question here. It's not on the ballot, and she didn't run like that much of a campaign.
There wasn't a tremendous amount of voter identification as her as a Democrat. Nobody walked and like said, this is the slate. It felt like she was just kind of She did some things. He raised a ton of money and sent a lot out, including mailers that said the Democrats support me. Did you see that?
I did not see
that. Yeah, he sent out a mailer that said Democrats support Jordan Marks, and it showed like Fiona Ma saying like something mildly nice about him.
Okay.
And it was like, okay, like, so some
it's my
plural
neighbor
Democrats.
Carl, he's a Democrat.
And then another neighbor who's another Democrat, and that's multiple, so there's Democrats.
And Fiona Ma.
So the Democrats support and Fiona Ma. I don't even...
It says the Democrats, and then you look and there's like SE is very small. It actually says these Democrats
support. If I was a good reporter, I would call Fiona Ma and ask if she supported him.
Yeah.
Because it looked like from the mailer that she did, but I feel like that would be kind of a stretch.
Yeah.
So I would like to check that. It's a knowable fact. So,
right.
But it's that's what I'm talking about. So like, does it break for Barbara Bree because it follows that traditional sort of more progressive lean after the votes get, you know, tabulated over time? Or does anybody know? And it just kind of stays with the same trend. So he's looking good. I don't know.
I guess the short answer is too close to call. I mean, the other complicating factor is we don't know how many votes are out there.
Right.
So it's not even like once we know that, we can start to.
Yeah, they'll put that up soon.
They'll put that up at some point today or tomorrow, probably the end of the day. And at that point, it starts to become clear whether a gap is closable or not based on how much progress they'd made to that point. But that said, like the Barbara Bree question here that's also interesting is like, can Democrats win these countywide races? Now, we got a bit of an answer to that question already with Kellyanne Martinez, the sheriff candidate that won against John Hemmerling, and that was not a close race, not at all. She took 58% of the vote to John Hemmerling's 42% of the vote as we record. So like that's the first Democrat who won a countywide race since you or I reported on politics in this town. If Barbara Bree climbs over this margin and wins as well, and the two contested countywide races with Democrats and Republicans that actually had money and ran real campaigns both go to Democrats, you're beginning to ask some serious questions about what's left of being a Republican in this county. Now, on the flip side of that, you've got John McCain, who just became the mayor of Chula Vista, and so you can always find a way to win races.
And also, like, vibes, man.
Yeah.
Like, Kelly Martinez did not come off as a Democrat. Like, right. And John Hemmerling
kind of
worked
did.
Really hard. He got the support of the Democrat who lost the primary.
But not the Democratic Party.
No, but he was trying to tap into those vibes. He was walking around with Shane Harris, you know, who's always prominent at any kind of civil rights controversy. He was like talking about confiscating guns from people we can't trust. He was doing so many things to appeal to that. And he was aligning himself with so many prominent liberals and social justice activists that it just felt like something was. You know, he was trying to tap into that vibe, and she was very much in the tradition of like conservative kind of leader of an establishment like institution. And yet, yeah, she did have the support of the Democrats, and maybe it's hard to see the physics of that race is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's fair. While we're here, Paul McNamara is now losing his bid for re-election in the city of Escondido. As mayor, he had a small lead earlier tonight.
Yeah.
That has now been passed by Dane White. So looks, you know, just based on that very rudimentary trend that he was ahead and now he's behind. If that were to continue, that would be a seat on the Democrats lost there.
That's three big cities, then.
Yes, that would be three big cities. So, yeah, maybe your brake pumping on me earlier today was appropriate, that Republicans have some things to celebrate tonight.
Well, one thing, though, they can't be too excited about was another big race that we all followed as it got a little bit more interesting towards the end. At least the Democrats sent up an alarm about it, which was the congressional race for the 49th Congressional District. Covers part of both Orange County and San Diego's North County. And as of now, the race is not that close. Now, again, these are early things that can shift, but it's at 57 to 40. Well, it's at 56.5 to 43.5. That's 13 points.
Yeah. He's good.
I mean, it doesn't look good. And that was, everybody was looking at that like, oh, this could be a wave election for Republicans, and this would buoy.
It fell into my, like, I have to say, like, my expectations, I'll own it, my expectations were really thwarted here tonight, because I try very hard to, like, not listen to what people are telling you, to, like, watch what they're doing.
Yeah.
And the president coming out to the 49th Congressional District to stump for Mike Levin was as clear a what are they actually doing, not what are they saying indication that they were worried. Now, yeah, maybe their polling was wrong too, or maybe they just recognized that, you know, if they held serve, they'd be okay. Or I don't know. There could be a lot of strategic explanations for it. But it wasn't crazy to think that this seat was in danger when the president of the United States had his, like, closing argument here.
Yeah, and the...
Or maybe he just wanted to come to San Diego.
Yeah, he's just like, great town. Love it.
No, that was fascinating. Can I talk about another one, too?
I'd love it if you did.
Prop 30, that was the tax on income above $2 million, and it was going to be used for rebates to electric vehicles and to charging stations and for firefighters, just throw them in, too. Mm-hmm. And it was funded entirely almost by Lyft, the company that needs to convert to all electrical vehicles, and wanted to see that happen. And it was opposed by Governor Gavin Newsom, and he cut some ads against it. And I think he was trying to argue, like, look, we already have a high tax. We've already budgeted for these priorities. We already have a high tax on high earners. This isn't the time to raise taxes on that. So, and that just got, it just got crushed. Yeah. I was surprised. It's at 57 to 43.
Yeah, I think voters really dislike any ballot measure that seems to be sole funded by a single source.
Yeah, I think there's something, they must have a real, maybe a true bullshit meter where they're looking at this like, no, there's something wrong with what you're trying to do. You're trying to do this dialysis clinic for some reason. Yeah, yeah. You're saying this gambling initiatives for homelessness. Yeah, yeah. Like, what are you doing? And maybe that's the basic, like, bullshit meter that they just can't handle.
It's hard for me to think of it to another explanation because, like, I'm sorry, I just don't think that California voters, like, in their gut oppose gambling.
No.
Or in their gut oppose taxing billionaires for electric vehicles. I think the median California voters likes gambling and likes taxing rich people for electric vehicles. And so for them to so decisively weigh in against these, I think they like sniff that stuff out.
Yeah.
I think they sniff out these sorts
especially
of
especially if they have help from funded opposition.
That tells that story.
That matters, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you had rich people who clearly calculated that this would cost them more than putting a few hundred thousand or $1 million into the campaign against it. And they were able to make some salient points, and the governor's opposition probably was devastating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else you guys notice, want to go over before?
Jen Campbell won huge. That was not a close race.
Well, I mean, not that huge. It's 56-44. It's big.
How I just described Kent Lee winning.
Yeah.
Which was basically the same margin.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. Here's the question. So they were patting themselves on the back that they got the opposition to be Linda Lukacs in this race.
Mm-hmm.
They have her as the Republican against Jen Campbell. They manufactured that by attacking the Democrat, Lori Saldana, that was really fighting in that race.
Yeah.
And, you know, that seems to have worked. Now, does Lori Saldana follow a Kent Lee thing and just kind of get, or does she get a lot closer, do you think?
Oh, I think she would have been closer.
So. If not, clearly won, right?
I mean, it's hard to say clearly.
Yeah.
So who knows how that campaign goes? I mean, at the very least, I don't think if Laura Saldana gets through, I don't think you get Jen Campbell just ignoring the existence of a race for an entire 6 months, just like opting out, like, nah, I'm good.
Now, the audacity.
I'll see y'all on election night with my victory speech.
That I didn't get around to writing this. I'll try to pull this together. But the audacity of Jen Campbell is amazing. Like, the UT opposes Jen Campbell. And in the entire article of the UT, it says
that they supported everything she's done.
They loved everything she did. But she's terrible at being responsive and representative of her district. And she didn't come in and talk to us. Mm-hmm. And so we're opposing her. But I think we did go over this, being representative of her district, she could not do the things that they liked her about doing. You know, it's like, okay, a fascinating thing there. But I don't know what she does now with it. Does she continue to do like big, weird, like comprehensive
she's
policies?
Termed out now. She's
won
re-election and termed out.
Fascinating.
Just rounding out some stuff. Measure U, the San Diego Unified School Board, passes another bond. Anytime they put a bond on the measure, voters approve it. They did again here. It's, as we sit here, at 62.54%. That's a pretty healthy 7-point margin that could be eaten away at, and it's still come out ahead. We had been following the San Diego Unified School Board contest for the District C seat. That's the coastal district seat. C is for coast, between the labor.
That'll actually help me. Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
The teachers union's supported candidate, Cody Pedersen, versus the Republican supported candidate, Becca Williams. And we had sort of, sort of some vibes measurement had suggested that was maybe a close race. And the poll.
Well, Cody said it himself
recently
in a story that Jacob wrote about all the money that she raised and how he had a hard time convincing people that it was a real race.
Yeah. And those people who he was trying to convince had it right. It was not a close race. he won by about 9 points, 54.4 to 45.6.
Okay. Well, this could be completely all wrong in the morning. So enjoy. And that was the special podcast, Election Night 2022. We'll catch up with you in a couple days.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of San Diego podcast, the most popular public affairs podcast in San Diego. Keep up with our election coverage and all of our reporting with The Morning Report, our most popular product. Get it at vosd.org/newsletters. Scott Lewis is our CEO and editor-in-chief at Voice of San Diego. Andrew Keats is managing editor. Andrea Lopez Villafania is also managing editor. I'm Nate John, producer for the show. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.